Welcome back, one and all, and children of the revolution, to What You're Not Listening To, the audio educational and anthology series here on aceofspadespdx.com here on the first week of December 2020. And I'm your host, show producer, webmaster, audio engineer, researcher, video promo producer, and writer, doing it all the DIY, sponsor commercial free as always. I'm Ben Brown Jr., Daddy Ben Bear. And on this program, we're going to ask a musical question. Ain't that the gospel truth? And this is a focus on the brief, soulful, funky, and amazing period in the early 1970s when black music had no bounds, including reminding us all that it not only came from the blues, but also the church. If you're like me, you find that Christmas music misses the point many times, as much of it has forgotten what the reason for the season is truly all about. Recently, here in the Portland, Oregon area, a radio station calling itself the, quote, best variety adult contemporary, unquote, programs nothing but Christmas music throughout the season annually. Oddly, their version of variety almost never includes gospel of any kind as part of the mix. Now, I was raised Catholic, and I'm probably the farthest thing from what you might call a man of the church. However, regardless of affiliation, I can be and am incredibly moved by religious music that speaks to my core values of charity, community, togetherness, and peace, especially when that music feels like it's coming from a deep respect and understanding of unconditional love. It also doesn't hurt if I can sing along, clap, and dance to it either. Just like much of what the season's become, which seems to be about the sale of things we probably don't need and attempt to, probably unintentionally at times, but more often than not intentionally, draw us away from the birth of Jesus Christ and his teachings. We can argue all day about whether he was born in the spring with the birthing of the lambs and the politics of why the date was moved. As old as I am, I wasn't there, and here we are just before the beginning of winter to mark this occasion. Work with me here. As soon as I turned on the station, there was the standard O Tannenbaum, which translates to O Christmas Tree. Now, I'm not saying there aren't pine trees in the Middle East. However, since this is an educational program, let me tell you that the pines that grow in that part of the world are of the species Pinus halepensis, commonly known as the Aleppo and Brucia pines, and look nothing like the department store tree that is commonplace. Seriously, even the foliage in these Christmas songs can't get it right. And of course, don't get me started on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a song about an Arctic animal body-shamed and bullied by his own kind for being different until he's exploited by an old white man. Sorry, I digress. Let's get back to Jesus. In show 46, season 1, back in February of this year during Black History Month, I did a show on the women of Stax Volt. In that program, the spotlight was on all the different types of women artists on history's greatest soul label based out of Memphis, Tennessee. What wasn't covered in depth were the multiple other labels that Stax founded, including Arden, which was a rock label, Laugh, which was a comedy label, and The Gospel Truth, a religious imprint. But this was no ordinary religious label. Primarily, it focused on a new subgenre called soul gospel. Stax had previously flirted with the sound via the mega-selling Staples Singers, who had crossed over to the mainstream with then-in-vogue message songs, who were also a group that never gave up their gospel roots. The most interesting thing about this period of black gospel wasn't that it merged soul and gospel, which, just a little more than a decade prior, had caused a great deal of controversy when Ray Charles mixed gospel call and response with secular R&B. What was important was when it happened. Music of the early 1970s was steeped in message songs of the day, which almost every secular black artist had recorded at the time. Warning songs were a staple of black gospel and early 70s soul songs as well, and the themes of reaching out to others about as old as the first gospel songs ever performed. Some of these artists more than flirted with soul and funk music. They blurred the lines in such a way it is almost impossible to separate them. All of these music forms derived from the blues, and it was more than natural to bring R&B and soul music into black gospel. Just remember this. Almost every major black performer of the 20th century got their start singing in the church. Soul gospel felt like far less than a stretch than would appear on the surface. All of these artists went on to continue performing, though some didn't record anything else after. Regardless of the vagaries of the business of the recording industry, there was always the church. These recordings, almost all 50 years old, have been recently brought out of the vaults and are a critical and important part of the evolution not just of black gospel, but of all R&B music then and now. As it states in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Amen. And this program is a special dedication to Ms. Phyllis Smith of Portland, Oregon. She was the mother of my co-host for the three classic Black Message Tracks programs we did earlier this year, Ronald D. Smith. Sister Phyllis was a choir director in her hometown, loved gospel, and graduated to glory 2 years ago on December 1st, 2018. We miss you. And our first act in our survey hailed from the Motor City, one of the biggest gatherings of gospel talent in the United States. They re-record 3 albums for the Gospel Truth label, which followed 2 other releases on other labels with many black artists, such as Minute out of New Orleans, and King, which was also home to James Brown. The backing instrumentation are none other than the Rance Allen Group, who you'll hear about a little bit later on in the show. From the album This Too Is Gospel from 1972, the Marion Gaines Singers' It Will Be Over Soon, and we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Take heed. eyes. Locked in the ghetto, a wearied mother cries. Wind at the window whimpers and sighs. Whatever happened to love? Lost and forgotten, the old people pray, fearful of tomorrow, yet they're lonely in today. Why, oh why do young ones all turn away? Whatever happened to love? Hungry children, black and white and red, in this land of plenty, still they cry for bread. Hungry little children, when will they compassion? Did it somehow simply go out of fashion? What about caring? What about sharing? Whatever happened?
Thank you. the hand, and I'll carry on. I have to weep. God's love I'll always keep, because it makes me strong.
He makes me strong.
And if I should ever have a son, we're gonna have a whole lot of fun, and I'll teach him to understand. I'll say,
boy, you got to give respect. Promise you will always give respect.
I'll
always give respect.
I said,
darling, I can give respect.
And welcome back, children of the revolution and one and all, to our very special soul gospel show here, focusing on the label, the brief, just a little over two and a half years, right, of the Gospel Truth label on Staxvolt Records. And what an amazing brief and but critical part of music history that we are spotlighting today. And let's recap what we've heard in the first part of our show, shall we? Kicked it all off with It Will Be Over Soon from 1972 from the album This Too Is Gospel by the Meringaine Singers. Following that, I'm a Child of the King from 1973, the People's Choir of Operation Push with a solo by Marvin Yancey from the album The People's Choir of Operation Push. Yes, it is a mouthful. A group that was originally part of the Reverend Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition, PUSH, which stood for, at that time, People United to Save, now it's People United to Serve, was a black self-help group based out of Chi-Town that still exists today. The soloist, Marvin Yancey, found his business success not as a gospel singer, but as a record producer, working with Natalie Cole during her initial Grammy-winning fame. Following that, single A-side by Jackie Verdell, He's Mine, from 1973, and for those of you... or collectors out there, here on this, when the single was released on the Gospel Truth, it was spelled J-I-C-Q-U-I, but most more often than not, you'll find it as J-A-C-K-I-E. Yes, so please look for those variations there for our collectors. Cited by none other than Aretha Franklin as one of the greatest gospel singers of all time, Verdell got her start with the Davis Sisters, a gospel group. She recorded a series of now hard-to-find singles, including this one, He's Mine, that met with little to no success. Undaunted, she continued to work her craft as a backup singer during the 1960s and 70s for artists such as Wilkins Pickett and Van Morrison. Following that, the Rance Allen Group from the album Brothers from 1973, Hotline to Jesus. A family act of three brothers, essentially a gospel power trio, the Rance Allen Group started their recording career at Stax for the Gospel Truth. They would go on to have the most successful career of any act in this survey, eventually scoring hits later in the 70s and become one of gospel's most respected acts. The brothers, originally from Michigan, made their home in Toledo, Ohio, where Rance became a bishop in a church he founded. Following that, Whatever Happened to Love, title track to the album by Clarence Smith from 1973. To the best of my research, this was the only album released by Smith, and it was created from scratch in the studio with session players from various imprints at Stax. In addition to traditional gospel music and what are historically called Negro spirituals, which Smith gave a unique and modern feel to, he also wrote two of the tracks on this LP, with this being one of them. And here we go, the next song after that, from 1972, the Howard Lemon Singers, from the album Message for Today, To the Other Man. Another Detroit-based group that recorded LPs before and after their tenure at Stax, this group featured lead by member William Garrett, with Howard Lemon acting as the group's leader with conducting, arranging, and producing duties. Singer Esther Smith went on to have a successful career as a solo artist in the 1980s and is the founder of EVS Ministries in Ecorse, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit right along the river. And the song we just heard from 1973 from the self-titled debut album by the Henry Jackson Company. That is the Henry Jackson Company with What's the Matter? This is the only recording for the Gospel Truth label by this group, which arose out of the Harrison Johnson Los Angeles Community Choir. Among the musicians on this recording are jazz keyboardist Joe Sample. After this recording, they were going to release two more full-length LPs, Just Being Alive on the legendary Christian label Myrrh in 1974, and Saved on the now-defunct Birthright Records imprint of Pasadena in 1977. Maybe kicking off the second part here with another next act, I should say, is another Detroit-based group. Released only one LP of original material during their brief time as a recording unit. Sounded like a contemporary funk band, but with lyrics that were definitely soul gospel. Their songs were a mix of message songs and religion. Of the titles the Gospel Truth released recently, this was not one of them, because Stax had already chosen Kraft Records to release the album on vinyl and digital formats 3 years ago to much critical acclaim. From the album A Message from the Ghetto, this is the Sons of Truth from 1972 with the song Son of the Deacon, and we'll see you just before the grand finale. Thank you.
by the side of a country road. People were gathered to get a little soul. The preacher would preach, the congregation would sing, the deacons in the amen corner doing their thing. But there was one deacon who sat by himself. His song was different from everyone else. It made no difference what song was sung. That little old
said, "Brother Deacon, what does that funny song mean? Now, I don't have any words to it, so explain it to me."
"You see, my song means love for all mankind.
To have that understanding, one peace of mind.
You got to be you. You ain't nobody else. upon this old sinful soul of mine. It makes me glad.
Step to Jesus.
My life for him never.
And welcome back, Children of the Revolution, and everyone else here. Thank you for being a part of this on What You're Not Listening To, the Audio Educational Anthology Series. I'm still your all-around monkey bear, Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr. Yes, I do record these in one take, warts and all. So, yeah, I know, that's just, you know, that's live. You know, we try to keep it as fresh as possible. Thank you for being here on our look back at the Gospel Truth Records label out of Memphis, Tennessee, spotlighting many of their current reissue crop just before the holiday season, because we're all here to remember what the season is supposed to be about, right? It's supposed to be about love, right? That's what I was told once. Let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our show before we get into our grand finale, shall we? Kicked it all off from 1972 with a group called The Sons of Truth. A Message from the Ghetto was the album, Son of the Deacon. After that, I'm So Glad I'm His Child from 1972 by Louise McCord, a tribute to Mahalia Jackson. McCord, originally one of the members of the last lineups of the gospel greats, Roberta Martin's singers, released her only album for Stax in 72, and she was one of the first artists on the Gospel Truth label. That is her powerhouse voice you hear on the Watt Stax soundtrack release with the song Better Get a Move On, which we included on our Women of the Stax of Old show earlier this year. My God, what a smoker. That track and several others from the LP this was taken from were written by label mate Betty Crutcher. Following that, the self-titled debut album by the Gospel Artistics from 1973, Time Shall Be No More. The Gospel Artistics were a truly unique act. All the members wrote, produced, sang, and played all the instruments themselves, just like any other self-contained R&B group. Based out of Washington, D.C., this was their only full-length LP. After their tenure at Stax, the band would release two one-off singles for the D.C.-based DB Records with songs taken from this album. Following that, this is another long one here. The group is Maceo Woods and the Christian Tabernacle Concert Choir. The album's called Jesus People. The song is Step to Jesus, and we're looking at 1972 here. Ish. The album this came from was originally released on the Gospel Truth imprint, but another Stax subsidiary, Volt, a year prior as Step to Jesus. On the album, they would employ a device common to soul gospel artists that continue to this day. Take a popular secular song and rewrite the lyrics to fit with religious themes. In addition to this LP, they released another album on Volt in 1970 called Hello Sunshine and several for Savoy Records for the rest of the decade, including the double LP Jesus Can Work It Out in 1976, recorded live in Chi-Town. And the song we just heard, Charles May and Annette Mae Thomas, Songs Our Father Used to Sing, Search Me, Lord, from 1973. A brother and sister duo who each had long and varied recording careers, they recorded this album in tribute to their father, legendary gospel vocalist John May. Annette had actually recorded several duets with her father, John May, on Specialty, and also was a solo artist on Stax as well, again, featuring her on the Women of the Stax Vault record label show we did earlier this year. She was also a member of the groups The Fourth of May and The Gospel Girls, and even worked with the one and only Bob Dylan as a backing vocalist. This was the siblings' only LP under their own name as a duo. However, they both worked with the Reverend James Cleveland, who, if you remember from our gospel show last year, the Aretha's Amazing Grace soundtrack, on several releases as well. Yes. Oh, my God. It all just kind of comes back back home, doesn't it? And here we are at the last song. And though not a traditional soul gospel recording, there is no denying the heart and power inherent in this performance. Traditionally, this performance would be classified as music from the Sanctified Church. The Reverend J.D. Montgomery was a well-loved local fixture in the greater Detroit area, being the leader of the greater Mount Carmel Choir for many years. The album this is from is not primarily music, though, but an amazing sermon performed by the Right Reverend. The soloist you hear is Sister Joyce Clark, and the choir still performs to this day. If you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, dedications, and requests, because this show is a dedication, please drop me a line at daddybenbear, one word, daddybenbear@gmail.com. Love to you all. Hope you'll have a wonderful and just beautiful and love-filled and safe holiday season. Again, a big shout-out to the lovely Sister Phyllis Smith. We miss you and love to you all. This is from 1972, the Reverend J.D. Montgomery and the Mount Carmel Choir with a solo by Joyce Clark from the album God's Newspaper. This is Late in the Evening. Thank you.
what I do. I just wait.